The Tarlhurst End Podcast.
By Reading fans, for Reading fans.
Hello everybody and welcome along to the Tarlhurst End Podcast Extra in association with the Wokingham Paper for Friday, September the 29th, 2017. My name is Dan Wimbush, editor of thetarlhurstend.com, and I'm joined, as always, by the Wokingham Paper's Reading reporter, Tom Crocker. Tom, welcome along.
Morning, Dan. How's it going?
Yeah, not so bad, thank you. Not so bad. I'd like to say events on the pitch were so good, but it seems a long way since we were talking a few weeks ago. And I was in Lanzarote. We were all happy and all great. It's just all gone downhill since then.
Yeah, maybe you should head back. You might.
I think so. I think if the club want to fund me to go back out there, I think that would be fine.
Yeah, it's been a testing week, I think it's fair to say. Obviously started on Saturday as a poor performance and rescued a draw against Hull and then threw it away on Tuesday night, and you're looking at it now and there's questions being asked of the manager and all sorts, and it's just it's not a great place to be around at the moment in terms of the fans, and you've got to hope it turns around quickly because there's a 2-week break coming up, and there's, if they lose tomorrow, then it's going to be a long one.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? I mean, we spoke this time last week and, you know, I asked a question, I was in hushed tones almost. Do you think if results go badly this week, Stan will be under pressure? And unfortunately, the worst has sort of happened, 1 point from six. And that question has been raised. We ran a poll on it on the Tarlhurst End website. They got a bit of flack from some quarters. Some people saying, oh, I can't even believe you're asking this question. But look, we like to gauge where the fan base is saying. And the good news for Yapstam anyway, Tom, is that certainly, you know, we had about 1,200 votes in this poll on Twitter, and only 12% are saying it's definitely time for him to go now. So it does show that he still is holding a lot of support from the fan base.
Yeah, absolutely. I think last season was sort of overachieving a little bit in terms of where they'd been the last couple of years. And that's the problem, though, when you do so well and then you start so poorly. It's not even been like an indifferent start now. I think it's fair to say it's been a poor start, and you look at it now and You have to question it a little bit when they spent so much in the summer and they're doing so poorly at the moment. But yeah, I think it's the fans are obviously right to remember what happened last year, and I think he's owed a bit of time to try and turn it around. And it's quite a new look team, so you have to hope that he can gel them together and try to turn these results around. I mean, obviously if they'd held on, they're 10 minutes away from getting a win on Tuesday night, and then it would have all looked a little bit better. But the performances aren't great at the moment. I think that's the biggest concern, and the points aren't coming either. So all the points they are getting, really, they're lucky to be getting as well. The couple of draws they've had, they didn't really deserve anything from those games, and that's the biggest problem when fans are going and they're not enjoying it, and some of them aren't even turning up, and the ones that are, some of them are booing the manager. And it's not great, but like you say, only 12% want him to go now. I think he's owed that bit of time, definitely, and I'm sure he'll turn it around as well.
You're in a unique position in that you get to speak to the manager and some of the players and staff around the club. Are you getting any sort of vibes at all that there is that unhappiness towards the manager, or do you still sense it's very much a united front behind the scenes?
Yeah, very much so. I think all the players are 100% all behind him. The most of them have been brought in by Stan. Most of them have arrived because of him in particular. They've only come to Reading after speaking with him and his sort of vision. So they're all well behind him. And obviously the one thing you would say is that when Stan starts questioning fans, and that's when things tend in other clubs to turn around against the manager. But I say he's tried to play that down again this week, I think, on Tuesday night. And it's something that happened last season as well. It's not the first time it's happened, and he managed to turn it around then as well. So yeah, I think they're all very much behind the manager. He's still very much of the opinion that the results are about to turn around again, and it all feels very united. But you have to get the results, otherwise it's gonna drag on, and suddenly the gap between the top six is gonna get bigger and bigger, and then the questions are gonna have to be asked, because he's brought a lot of players in the summer, and they've arguably gone backwards so far. So yeah, it's not great at the moment, but they're very much all seem to be very much together as well.
You were there. You were in the room when Stan sort of was making these comments, sort of, I don't want to use against the fans, but he was certainly taking a pop at certain sections of them for the booing and stuff. I mean, what vibe did you get from him? Did you get a sense of genuine sort of anger from him towards those fans? Or do you sort of lean towards what he was sort of saying on Tuesday, where he was saying, oh, it was a bit blown out of proportion, etc., etc.?
I think he's just a bit frustrated they're not getting the points. I think that's the main reason for it. Obviously, if they were booing and they'd won the game, it probably wouldn't have got too much of a mention. I remember I think it was Rotherham last year when they got booed off at half-time, they were losing, and he did come out quite angry after that game and had a go. He wasn't happy with the fans because they were doing so well in the season, but I think it's more frustration from him rather than trying to turn against the whole fan base saying they're all against Reading and all this. I think it's he's frustrated because he can see in his mind, I think, what they want to try and do, but the players just aren't doing it at the moment. And when you're watching it as a fan, a lot of the they're having a lot of the ball and a lot of the play, but they haven't created many chances all season, really. And I think in his world, he can see how it's coming together, but maybe some of the fans can't quite see what the plan is at the moment. I think that's the biggest disconnect. But yeah, as I say, he tried to sort of backtrack a little bit on Tuesday night, and I'm sure he's not trying to build an agenda against the fan base. That wouldn't be a wise thing to do. So obviously, you got to just hope that tomorrow. I think it's got to get an early goal. They haven't scored in the first half all season, and then when the whole half goes by every single week and you're not creating many chances, it gets easier to try and get frustrated as a fan base and get on the team a little bit. And I think that's just the biggest frustration. They're starting games slowly and then not being able to push on in the second half either most of the time. So yeah, it's been a tough start so far.
Can you see what the plan is? I mean, you're in a slightly unique position, but you're not a I'm sorry to tell you, you're not a die-hard Reading fan. You know, we vouched you as a gooner from the first episode, so and a good win for you last night as well. But, you know, you've got that, you can take that little bit of a step back, especially from a professional journalism point of view. Do you see what Stam's trying to do? Do you see that plan slowly taking hold at the club, or do you sit there thinking, I'm not sure what he's trying to do here?
Yeah, obviously it's not dissimilar to what he was trying to do last year, and it worked. So it's not quite happening this year. Obviously, you mentioned as an Arsenal fan, I'm used to seeing the ball being passed around the back quite a lot. So it's not something I get particularly angry with. But the problem is they're not creating the chances. And I think it was interesting actually when he came out after the game against Hull, and he admitted that last season they got a bit lucky in some of these games to win them. Which, when you're a manager, is not something you tend to say. You usually go and harp on about how well you'd done last season, but he came out and said that they had got lucky in some games, which I think is an interesting thing for him to say. And yeah, the plan is something they got to try and create more chances. I think on Tuesday night is an interesting one regarding sort of team selection. I mean, they're played a back five with Blackett and Gunter at wing back and Joey in midfield. So you've only got four attacking minded players on the pitch, and I don't think you're likely to create many chances if you only got four players on the pitch that want to go forward. I don't think the two at wing back are particularly great going forwards. I think when you've got a beater there, it's a bit different. But when you've got that back five and you're playing Joey, I think that's something you've got to look at, because it's not going to create too many chances, I don't think, playing that way. Obviously, they nearly nicked it in the end from a goal from a set piece. But his game's all about creating opportunities, and it's just that they're not coming at the moment. And obviously, there's a lot of questions about whether they should be playing Bodvarsson up front. I think probably at home they should be. But at Brentford, he got taken off at half-time and he wasn't playing great. So it's not like he's dropped a striker who's been banging in loads of goals. It's just that the options don't seem to be there at the moment somehow. They've got such a big squad, but you just look around and you think, who can they put up there to try and get some goals? And Aluko's looked good but hasn't scored yet. And yeah, you can see the plan, but it's all happening sort of 10, 20 yards too far back down the pitch to create the chances. I think that's what they've got to try and work on, really.
Do you get any sort of vibe that he'll change? Do you think that this is it, this is the way he plays, and he's going to, you know, keep plugging away?
Yeah, that's something that came up last season, really. I think he did towards the end for sort of certain away games, and obviously in the playoffs he changed completely, really. And it's something that he's got in his locker to change it up. I think at home he wants to keep trying to dominate the games through possession and create chances that way. That's his philosophy, but I think he's sensible enough to know now that they need to get points on the board as well. So I think tomorrow if they did get an early goal somehow, they might have got and then sat on it a little bit, I don't think he'd be too frustrated. He knows that they need to get some points now, and his whole philosophy isn't going to suddenly change, but he's pragmatic enough as well to know that they need to get some results and then try and build the possession style back up again. But yeah, I think for away games it's already changed a little bit for some of them anyway.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about needing to improve. It's Reading's worst start to a Championship season since the 2009-10 season under Brendan Rodgers, and we all know how that ended. Brendan didn't see Christmas, so he's going to need to get those points on the board. Below, really, on Saturday, I thought Jordan Abisa was one of the standout performers. I thought when he came on, he really helped up the tempo, but such a cruel blow for him, injured in that final minute. Have we had any sort of injury update from Stam on Jordan?
No, it's all been quite quiet on that one. It didn't sound great straight after the whistle. And I know, I think Jordan's been on Twitter saying that he's sort of hoping it's not going to be too bad, but he hasn't sort of said that he's fine or anything. He obviously wasn't involved on Tuesday, so I'd expect him to, he'll certainly be out tomorrow and then try and get an update then. And obviously it's a 2-week break, but it didn't look great. It's a concern again. He's only just come back from injury, and I think everyone acknowledges that Blackett isn't really a wing back. So if he wants to play in that system, that formation, then I guess you've just got to hope you can improve Tyler Blackett there or try someone else over there. But there isn't really that many options, and it is a big blow because Jordan's one of the stand-up players last year. And like you say, when he came on Saturday, he was brilliant as well in spells, actually getting beyond the defenders and putting crosses in. So yeah, that's a blow as well. And we're just going to have to wait and see on that. Obviously, the injury situation in general isn't too bad, but that's one position that they could really do with him back playing that system.
Yeah, and while it's been a bad week for one Dutchman, it's been a good week for another one. A new contract, Tom.
Yes, new contract for Joey, which is certainly, I'll say divided opinion. I think it seems, just looking at reaction, most people aren't entirely convinced that he's earned one. But I think it's, I think we mentioned off air, it's just the timing a bit strange when you're not playing particularly great, not picking up results, and you throw out this new contract now. It might have been best to do it during the break maybe, but obviously you don't know what's going on behind the scenes. It's, if he signed it, I suppose they should tell us he signed it. So he was running out at the end of this year, I think. And yeah, I like Joey. Is I think something that I went to a game, pre-season game at Hogwood, and you can see even then he's a winner. He's barking out orders at the young players, having a go at the referee, even in a friendly at a training ground. He's certainly one of those experienced heads, I think, which when you look through the central midfield as well, you've got Kelly, Swift and Evans, and I think a bit of experience there is useful. Stam obviously likes and trusts him in big games, and I think he just wants to maybe reward him for his... I think he had a good first season, really. It was his first season in England. He's obviously played in Holland pretty much all his career, so I think he had some good moments last year, and Stam obviously likes him and wants to reward him with a new deal. I don't think it's a massive error or anything. It's just, yeah, he hasn't had the best of starts maybe either, which might bring it into question. But yeah, I think he's a good person to have around.
Yeah, I think the timing is somewhat strange. I don't know how in demand Joe Vandenberg's going to be. You're sitting there thinking, oh, God, you know, he's going to be picked up by somebody in a pre-contract or whatever. But I do wonder what this sort of says about how Stan views players like George Evans. And some other fringe youngsters, if they're committing to Joey for another season already, sort of, to me, but reading between the lines, it almost says that, well, I'm not massively convinced by you, because he's obviously brought in Leandro Bacuna and Dave Edwards as well, and big long-term contracts handing out to Kelly and Swift. It doesn't send out great messages to George Evans.
No, I suppose not. One thing maybe you could say is that he's often used him as centre-backs, and maybe he likes having him in there, being able to put him in a centre-back. Maybe he thinks he's a bit short in that area, but even then you've got Ilori and Moore, who are young centre-backs, so you wonder exactly how many games he is going to play. But I think it is more to have him in and around the squad. I think he's still going to play enough games, and I wouldn't necessarily say he sees him above Evans. It just seems to be at the moment, when they seem to need a bit of experience on the pitch and in these big games where they haven't got so many points, he's throwing him in. I mean, Evans obviously played quite a lot at the start of the season when Joey wasn't about, and yeah, I think they'll both play plenty of games. Obviously you can't say for certain next year, maybe it isn't his plans to move George on, but he seems to certainly be using him quite a lot at the moment this season, and Joey as well. He's rotating it quite a lot, which seems to be the plan. Obviously John Swift's picked up another injury. I think he's picked up a few since he's been here, so you look at options in midfield, and I think he's just happy with Joey, and maybe if Joey went, he would have to try and get another experienced midfielder in, so he'd rather just keep what he's got rather than having to look for another one. I think that's probably the main reason why he's handed in the deal.
You mentioned another knock for John Swift ahead of tomorrow's game on the telly against Norwich at the Mad Stad. Is him and Jordan the only two doubts, or anyone else carrying niggles?
I think so, yeah, apart from obviously the guys who were out already, Harriet and Kermigan, they won't be about. I think Mo Barish, from what we heard when he first got injured and the week after that, it sounds like this was the game that they were targeting for him to come back, so I think that'll be really good. I think he made a great start, and it'd be great to have him back in the side. He offers something a bit different. You never quite know what he's going to do. I'm not sure he does sometimes either, but it's unpredictable, and fans certainly like that. I think Cleary's struggling a little bit form-wise, and to have Mo Barrow back in would be great. And throughout the rest of the squad. Yeah, I think it's just Swift had a problem, hamstring problem, and Jordan with his knee. So I don't think Swift is too bad at the moment. They'll obviously have a look at that. I'm not sure if he's been called up for England actually, or if he's too old for that maybe now actually. I need to check on that. But I don't think he's too bad, and it's just Jordan we're sweating on really. The rest of the squad looking okay.
Yeah, well, we need everybody we can get. So Matt will be a real boost, like he's mentioned. He does offer that something different. That pace really does worry defences. I mean, Norwich, they've had a mixed season so far under Mr. Farker. I can't get enough of saying that name in a childish way. But unfortunately for Reading, they look like they've hit form at the worst possible time, really. They've won their last three games on the road. They've won at Sheffield United, Brentford and Middlesbrough. Three very difficult places to go and get all 3 points. They don't seem to be doing quite so well at home, but this is not the game you want right now.
No, definitely not. Obviously, they had a slow start under the new boss, and they've certainly picked up in recent weeks. And I think, they got 5 clean sheets in a row in the Championship, I think, and Reading aren't really scoring many goals, so that's obviously that's a main concern, I think. They obviously got Nelson Oliveira, who'll get plenty of attention, I'm sure, but it looks like he's on the bench most of the time at the moment, but it would not surprise me if he came on and did something later on in the game. But yeah, they've started slow. They've picked up form. They've got a few guys in that team who have played in the Premier League, and they seem to have found a way to win games now, especially away from home. So that's a concern. And they're a side that are targeting promotion. So it's a big game, and Reading just need to get a win from somewhere. And this is the last chance for a couple of weeks. So they're going to have to try and find a way. I think they're capable of winning on the day. It's just, there seems to be a lack of confidence in the team at the moment going forwards, which has been the problem. But if they can just get a little bit of luck, get an early lead, and I think that's the biggest hope tomorrow.
Yeah, the one thing you would say about Norwich is they're not prolific goal scorers. Oliveira's got 4. Nobody else has got more than a single league goal for them this season. I think they've only got, 7-8 in the Championship so far. As you mentioned, they're really reliant on that defence. So if Reading can get themselves in front and force Norwich to come at them, and they should be in a nice, strong position, although, you know, Cameron Jerome's lurking, and he always loves a goal against Reading. So definitely, if I had a 5 to be putting on first goal scorer, I know where that would be going. So very, very difficult. But look, you know, we talked about it last time we came off an international break. It can do wonders for you if you get that momentum going in. Everyone goes away. Everyone sort of calms down for a bit. You give players a couple of weeks to get fit, get ready again. And then, you know, the whole outlook on the season looks different. On the other hand, if they lose this, the atmosphere is going to be toxic. Is too strong a word, but it's really not going to be a fun place.
No, I think I said before the whole game, if they went behind, it could turn a little bit, and it did before they went behind. Really, it's, and if it goes the same way tomorrow, then the fans rightly aren't going to be too happy with how it started. I mean, you obviously mentioned the international break. I think before the last one, they beat Birmingham, and since then they haven't won. So I'm not sure if it's how much it has a factor. I mean, the last international break, they needed it really to get players back fit, but they've pretty much got a full squad at the moment. And yeah, I don't think the break will really come at a great time, other than if they lose tomorrow, it will maybe calm things down a little bit, in terms of there won't be any games to voice any opinions. But yeah, I think that, like you say, if they go behind tomorrow, it's inevitably not going to be the best atmosphere. So you've got to hope that they can just get an early goal. And that's the thing, like when they say, when a team gets an early goal, the fans, I don't think, will be too concerned if it's not the best watch. If they can just grind out a win, really, the fans will get behind it if they're defending a lead, as the players do, just try and defend for their lives towards the end. I think if they can just go into a game, get a lead, and try and have something to defend and battle for, that'll make such a big difference. So we're just hoping that they can get off to a fast start tomorrow.
Well, you really think they want to get points in the bank? I mean, the run after the international break is brutal. Trips to Leeds and Sheffield United, a home game with Middlesbrough, a home game with Forest, and a trip to Derby and Wolves at home. That is a 7-game spell that, again, you really, I mean, you have to. You've got to play them at some point in the season, but right now, it's tough. It's tough. And you are sitting there looking at a scenario where Reading are getting very few points here. Is there a run of results? In that time, again, we finished with a tough question last week. I'm going to finish with a tough question this week. Do you think there's a run of results in that period that could see a situation where Reading feel they've got to change their manager?
I think the biggest thing about that is it's new owners and you're not entirely sure how patient they are. Obviously, they've come out and given Yap a new contract and they've given them plenty of backing in the transfer window, but we've seen it so many times elsewhere that owners aren't too concerned about how it's gone previous years. If they don't feel Reading have got any chance of getting promoted this year, or they need to make a change to make sure that does happen, then it'll be in everyone's minds. That's just how football works. I mean, it's from many fans' point of view, even if that run doesn't go great, I think they would rather have Yap there. He's done, obviously, from what he did last year, but I don't think anyone can guarantee that he'll definitely be here after that run of games, which does sound crazy to say, but it's just the reality of the situation. I think it's still, at the moment, far too early, but obviously, if they go on a losing run or something, then and slide down the table rather than move up it, then the owners might have a look at it and think, we've given you a lot of money in the window. Why are you not getting the results from it? It's not like you've had a massive raft of injuries. You've got the team that you wanted and you're not picking up the results. But on the flip side, as you say, with the run they've got, that's an opportunity to get a couple of big wins and suddenly it will look different again. That's how crazy this league is. And every week the games are, on paper, they look tough. And if Reading can grind out a couple of wins and start playing a bit better, then it will look so much better so quickly. But yeah, I don't think you can rule anything out at any stage in football these days, really.
Yeah, well, let's flip on the positive. Let's hope that, you know, we do pick up those big wins and suddenly we're talking about, you know, this was the early season rockiness. I remember Alan Pardew about 15, 16 years ago suffering a similar blip around this stage in the season. I remember we lost at home to Swindon and fans were calling for his head, and that turned around very quickly and we'd slowly picked up momentum and ended the season promoted. So I'm not sure the same will happen this season in terms of promotion, but certainly, you know, hopefully Reading will rise to the occasion. And, you know, I don't care if it's a goal off Paul McShane's backside, just need to start finding ways to get over the line. But Tom, thanks very much for taking the time to join us today. What can we look forward to on the Wokingham paper?
Yes, so we've got, obviously it's all eyes on tomorrow, really. We've got, if you're interested in the women's side, they got a game today. We've got a piece of them going up, but the main focus obviously is then on tomorrow and the game at 5:30, and then it's the 2-week break, which hopefully will be a happy one. It's over on wokinghampaper.co.uk and on at Tom J. Crocker on Twitter.
Perfect. And, you know, I couldn't let you go without mentioning it. You got something right in the prediction league.
Yes, I did, finally.
John Daddy Bob Vass in goal, getting you 3 points.
Yes, John Daddy saved me. It's been a struggle, but yeah, bang on score. I'm not sure how that makes the stand.
Well, it's unfortunately, we are all still generally terrible as a league. Westie still leads the way on 6 points. Then you have Handbags Harris, who's picked up 2 results in a row. So he's up to 5. Then it's me and you on 4. And then Johnny, Mark's on 4 as well. And Johnny Williams propping up the prediction league at the moment with 3 points. So a former champion struggling. But I've gone for a 1-1 draw today on the main edition of the show, which you can check out on this feed and on YouTube and all the usual places. I've said 1-1. Westie has said 0-0. So what do you say?
I think I'm going to follow what went so well last week and go for another 1-1.
Draw.
Yes, I'm going to stick with that and hope for better. But I think it wouldn't be too bad if it was 1-1. But yeah, we'll go for another one.
Well, you know, as I just said, we are terrible at predicting things. So that means Reading are going to go win 4-0. Let's hope so anyway. Right, I said, Tom, thanks very much, Johnny. Have a good weekend. Enjoy the match on Saturday and then hopefully a nice, peaceful, calm international break.
Thanks, yeah, will do.
Absolutely. And in the meantime, head over to thetilehurstend.com to check out more great content. We've got lots of preview material, lots of opinion pieces going up as well. Kevin Doyle retiring as well, so share your memories of Kev's career as well up on the website. And we'll be back with the main edition of this show, hopefully early next week. Might push into the week after, not entirely sure yet. And Tom, I'll chat to you in a couple of weeks before the game with away at Leeds.
Yes, we'll do. Look forward to it.
Absolutely. Right, take it easy, and thanks everyone for listening. Ta-da.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
at the Tilehurst End
and facebook.com/thetilehurstend.